treat to have everyone here for this Christmas Eve candlelight service. The family here at Cornerstone, we're glad to have our family from far and wide gathered with us today. It's a great blessing, and we look forward to celebrating here. It was easily the most important song that had ever been sung, and it announced the most important event. And it is incredibly familiar to us all. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we read, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, singing, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this blessed night and for this occasion of gathering. And we pray that you would show us your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This past week, I had to go over to Mississippi and check on my dad after he had had some surgery and what have you. And one of my favorite stopovers on that little trip is Philadelphia, Mississippi. There's a little place tucked away back off the beaten path there, Williams Brothers Country Store. A phenomenal little place where you can go in and buy old-fashioned bacon, country ham, everything that will make your cholesterol just soar to heavenly heights, and overalls, pig snout rings, and all the kind of stuff that you just can't go to Walmart and get. And I was wandering around in there, and they're just delightful people. And as a matter of fact, and excuse the reference, but Archie Manning's wife's family owned it, so it's got a lot of rebel stuff in there. And that makes it just, it's very near to my heart. But in the background, they were playing Christmas Carol. And as I was wandering around in there, and actually getting a little claustrophobic because everybody for three counties had decided to stop in there at the very same time we did, I heard in the background, "Angels we have heard on high." And you know that refrain, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And as I was listening, I looked around at the crowd. And I was looking at all the faces of people who were filling the place. And I noticed that everybody seemed to be just rushed and so intent on getting from point A to point B. And everybody had a plan, and everybody had a very intent look. And I walked up, and there was one man who was upset because they couldn't get his car to run. There was another couple fussing. And I may have snapped at my wife and all of the mess of that place. And as I was thinking about it, I wondered, I wonder what's behind all of this activity. Now I'm not that dense. I understand it's Christmas. I understand the season. Everybody was in there buying presents. Everybody was in there buying things that they needed. That they were just part of the season. But I also wondered, have we heard the music playing in the background? Do we have any idea what those angelic words really mean? And I wonder sometimes if we do. I wonder if I do. And there is something about the familiarity of this all that strikes us. It puts our brains and our hearts into this mental and emotional, spiritual coma. We quit thinking, we quit hearing, we quit considering And we go into this autopilot mode where we just need to get the list done. We got so many things coming at us. We've got so many things to do. How are we ever going to get it all done? And how are we ever going to really feel the impact, the beauty, and the glory of Christmas? If I can just get it all accomplished, if I can just get the thing that person loves, if I can just get my heart's desire, happiness is going to flow free and full into all of my life and all of my relationships. I think we can all agree that the one thing that drives our hearts is this need for happiness. We long for happiness. We long for this deep sense of joy, a deep sense of our soul being alive and fulfilled and content. Blaise Pascal has said that behind every single human motivation stands the motivation for happiness. Every human being above all else seeks to be happy. And it does drive us. And yet we never seem to be able to fully attain that. And the reason for that, the gospel explains it to us, and especially as we see it in the Christmas message, it gives us an answer that the human heart is created to give ultimate allegiance, not to the things that surround it, but to God and God alone. When we give our allegiance to other things, to other people, to other causes, we're like those cisterns that Jeremiah spoke of in Jeremiah 2, the cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. And we have to ask ourselves, as we come into this Christmas season, as we're on the eve of this Christmas, as all of the running and rushing is really upon us, we got to the end of it because I think Winn Dixie's closed. And Walmart may even be closed. Who knows? So at this point, with nothing else left that you can do, what are your expectations for Christmas? What do you expect out of Christmas? One of my favorite songwriters, I've quoted him before, Michael Carr, said everything we could ever imagine, Jesus is. He's the Prince of Peace whose first coming transformed society, but whose second coming will establish justice and righteousness forever. And all of this, and infinitely more than that, is alive in an impoverished baby in a barn. And that's what Christmas means. To find in a place where you would least expect to find anything you could want, everything you could ever need. We need to grasp the reality that the joy and the happiness for which we so desperately long is not something that we can simply go out there and find. In fact, you cannot find it in and of yourself. As the hymn Joy to the World reminds us, we just finished singing that, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive its King. The joy that we are longing for, the happiness for which we so desperately long, is something we receive. It is a gift of God's grace. Happiness has found us. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the proclamation of Christmas in the fullness of time. As I said this morning, Jesus ripped history into two pieces. One of expectation, where everything seemed to be almost there, almost arriving. And then on Christmas, that second half of history becomes satisfaction and fulfillment, and the gift has arrived. Jesus entered our world. He had dwelt with His Father in joy unspeakable. It was a glorious existence. It was an unthinkable existence. He laid that aside, and He embraced the humiliation of flesh.
He was despised and rejected, and as the writer of Hebrews tells us, he did that for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame for our eternal joy. You recall the wise men, after seeing the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, it says. And they went in to behold the newborn king. Remember the angels announcing Jesus to the shepherds, "Don't fear, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." There's one of the hymns that we sing sometimes, "While by the sheep we watched at night, how great our joy, 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 joy." Christmas is the heavenly proclamation that eternal joy has crashed into our experience. It tells us that everything that holds out the promise of joy and fails, as the newness, as the novelty wears off, as our hearts ache for more under the weight of our great need, as our hearts long for substantive joy in the manger, where we least expect to find anything we could ever want, is found all our hearts could ever need. As the hymn writer says, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus tonight. He has come to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes us prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love." That's the beauty of what Christmas is for us. It is the proclamation that the joy for which we so desperately long is now gifted to us by grace. We're about to go to the Lord's table and take communion. As we prepare to do that, we need to understand that what's laid out for us here is a tangible expression of the fulfillment of every hope and every desire that we could ever produce. Tonight, we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. He holds out for us here tonight the reality of a sacrifice that was made that we can never make for ourselves. A sacrifice paying a price that we can never pay. Blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins to accomplish something we can never do for ourselves. The removal of our sin as far as east is from west. That is the fulfillment of Christmas. For tonight, as we come to take this Lord's Supper, we take it with trembling expectation that here, in this moment, in this event, in this time, in our presence, the living Christ comes and delivers joy unspeakable, full of glory. Jesus gathered his disciples on the night of his betrayal, and he broke a piece of bread, and he gave that bread to his disciples, and he said to them, "I want you to take and eat this bread and remember me. Remember my body given for you." And likewise, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sin. A forgiveness that removes your sin as far as east is from west, to be remembered no more. Drink from this cup, all of you." The invitation to partake of this holy meal is extended to those who have looked and said, "I am a needy sinner, and there's nothing I can do about that in and of myself." It's an invitation to all of us to look and say, "I have a need, and Jesus has provided for that need." So with great joy, we invite you, come and take of this meal and taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. If my elders would please come forward.